بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah, we will continue our classes regarding treatment of anxiety through the belief in Allah's decree. And inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the third aspect of the belief in Allah's decree, which is the will. It is the will of Allah that controls everything in the heavens and in the earth. That is to say, it is the power that is controlling the life. We must believe in the will of Allah and feel confident that Allah can do everything. Now, inshallah, we will recite from surah number 54, verse number 49, 50, and 51 to know more about the will of Allah. Inshallah, now we will recite from surah number 54, verse 49, 50, and 51. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verse 49, Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar. Verily, we have created all things with Qadr, the divine decree, for all things before their creation, as written in the book of decrees. Verse number 50, وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. And our command is but one, as the twinkling of an eye. وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا أَشْيَاعَكُمْ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. And indeed, we have destroyed your likes. Then is there any that will remember? So actually, sisters, we will start by learning the meaning of the first verse of these three verses of the Quran, which is verse number 49 from surah number 54, because this is a Quranic rule. Allah is clarifying that Allah has created everything according to the divine decree. The meaning of this Quranic rule is that all events in all directions, large and small, take place according to a plan and a set measure. This applies to every occurrence in history, even the feeling experienced by every individual. All are there in due measure with regard to time, place, quality, shape, and form, maintaining due balance in all situations. Allah will remain behind the far end of every event in our life. All occur in accordance with His will, which is profound, all-comprehensive, and inevitable. In conclusion, Allah is teaching us that everything occurs in due measure and appropriate proportion. Therefore, we should leave the things to the one who controls it, that is to say, Allah the Almighty. In verse number 50, Allah is clarifying that, and our commandment is but one, as the twinkling of an eye. The meaning of this verse of the Quran, which is a Quranic rule, is that the command of Allah is just once, and this entire universe comes into existence. Similarly, any change in it can happen. Just one command, and it will all go away as Allah wishes. In everything, the command is given once only, bringing anyone into life, causing it to die, bringing it back in some shape or form, resurrecting all creatures from all generations to gather them for the reckoning and reward. It is only one command that requires no effort no time. Actually, sister, this is a Quranic rule which is clarifying to us that changing our life events is by one command from Allah, which takes no time. Allah is giving to us the example of that, how His command is taking no time, which is the time of the twinkling of the eye. This means that Allah can change everything, Allah can solve all the problems, Allah can make all our hopes reality in the very short time, which is equal to the twinkling of the eye through one command. This is the proof of the greatness of the will of Allah, which is unlimited. So again, according to verse 50, this verse means that when Allah wills a thing to happen, He commands it once without the need to repeat it. And whatever Allah commands comes to existence faster than the blinking of an eye, without any delay, nor even for an instant. And actually, this verse of the Quran is giving the hope to every one of us that whatever you are looking for, whatever you are trying to get, Allah, through His will, inshallah, can make it a reality in your life through His will, in a twinkling of an eye. That is to say, in no time. In no time, Allah can give you all what you are looking for. Allah can change your situation. Allah can make your hopes a reality. It is just the will of Allah in a twinkling of an eye. Now, inshallah, we will recite also, that we will learn also the meaning of verse 51. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And indeed, we have destroyed your likes. In this verse of the Quran, Allah is mentioning the torment of the earlier nations, so that we can realize the reality of the decree of Allah, which He can change, which none can change or interfere with all things. From these verses of the Quran, we learn that Allah can make everything, Allah can change everything, Allah can create everything in no time, which is the time of the twinkling of the eye. So let us appreciate and let us believe in the will of Allah, which is profound, all-comprehensive, and inevitable. Actually, we will learn another verse of the Quran from Surah number 71, verse number 4, to learn that none can interfere with Allah's decree. Surah number 71, verse 4. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 70, Surah Nuh, verse number 4. Inna ajalallahi idha jaa la yuakhar law kuntum ta'lamun. Verily, the term of Allah, when it comes, can't be delayed if you but knew. So actually, Allah the Almighty is teaching us that He is the all-powerful, who is the heavens and the earth. If He commands something to happen, it can't be prevented. None can prevent a disaster or change any of Allah's decree, because when the term of Allah comes, none can delay it, and we must believe in this. Actually, the question will be how Allah can make these changes in our life in a twinkling of an eye. The answer is in Surah number 36, Surah Yasin, verse number 82. Surah number 36, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. Verily his command when he intends a thing is only that he says to it be and it is. فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون. So glorified is he and exalted above all that they associate with him, and in whose hands is the dominion of all things, and to him you shall be returned. Actually, we must believe from this verse of the Quran that Allah is the supreme creator. When he wills or intends something, he simply say be, and then it becomes. This is a great reminder for all of those who need something from Allah, yet lose hope in his mercy and in his will. All that needs to be done is full submission to Allah and to improve our love and relation with Allah by following his commands. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So actually, sisters, we are learning from Surah number 36, verse number 82, that when Allah intended something to happen, he just say be and it is. This verse means that everything in the universe, that is to say anything in the heavens or anything in the earth, it is all the same, requiring no more than a simple word, be and it is. Nothing is easier or more difficult, near or far. Once Allah intended something, it exists, whatever it may be. This Quranic rule clarifies the absolute will and power and the complete authority of Allah over everything in the universe. Now we will learn many other verses of the Quran which is related to the fact that when Allah intended something to happen, he just say be and it is. Now inshallah we will start learn about the other verses of the Holy Quran which is having the same meaning, and we will start by recitation from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 117. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 117. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. بديع السماوات والأرض وإذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون.
Originator of the heavens and the earth, when he decrees a matter, he only says to it, be, and it is.
Actually, sisters, Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and it is very easy for him to say be and it is, and this is regarding all the matters. We will recite again regarding these facts from Surah number 3, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 47. Surah number 3, verse number 47. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we will start from verse number 45 so that we can have the meaning clear. Bismillah 45, 46 and 47. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْهُ اسْمُهُ الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ ويكلم الناس في المهد وكهلا ومن الصالحين قالت ربي أنى يكون لي ولد ولم يمسسني بشر قال كذلك الله يخلق ما يشاء إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون.
And mention when the angels said, O Mary, indeed Allah gives you good tidings of a word from him whose name will be Messiah Jesus, the son of Mary, distinguished in this world and the hereafter, and among those brought near to Allah. He will speak to the people in the cradle and in maturity, and will be of the righteous. She said, My Lord, how will I have a child when no man has touched me? The angel said, Such is Allah. He creates what he wills. When he decrees a matter, he only says to it, be, and it is.
So actually, sister, this is Mary Jesus' mother, as she was wondering about having a baby, and Allah clarified to her that it is just that Allah will say to it, be, and it is. We will recite again regarding the same fact from the same surah, surah number 3, verse number 59. Surah number 3, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 59. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب ثم قال له كن فيكون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Indeed, the example of Jesus to Allah is like that of Adam. He created him from dust, then he said to him, be, and he was.
So actually, sister, this is the answer of the question, how Jesus was created. The answer is that Allah said be, and it was. We will actually learn more about the fact that Allah, when He intends a thing, He just say be, and it is, from Surah number 6, Surah Al-An'am, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 73. Surah number 6, verse number 73. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق ويوم يقول كن فيكون قوله الحق وله الملك يوم ينفخ في الصور عالم الغيب والشهادة وهو الحكيم الخبير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And it is He who created the heavens and the earth in truth. And the day, whenever He says be, and it is, His word is the truth. And His is the dominion on the day the horn is blown. He is the knower of the unseen and the witnessed. And He is the wise, the aware.
Actually, sister, the same fact was mentioned in Surah number 19. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah Maryam. Verse number 35, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verse number 35, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ما كان لله أن يتخذ من ولد سبحانه إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is not befitting for Allah to take a son, exalted is He. When He decrees an affair, He only says to it, be, and it is.
Actually, sister, in this verse of the Quran, it is mentioned a very important fact related to Allah the Almighty. And we must all the time remember that fact, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The fact which was mentioned in the Ikhlas in Surah number 112, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدُ. Say, O Muhammad, He is Allah the One. Allah is the self-sufficient Master whom all creatures need. He begets not, nor was He begotten, and there is none co-equal or comparable to Allah. So all the time you must remember that fact, that none can be compared to Allah. Allah begets not, nor was He begotten. He is the self-sufficient Master whom all the creatures need. And Allah is the One. Now, inshallah, we will start to learn more, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, about the will of Allah. How the will of Allah can make changes which none can imagine. We will learn from the story of Prophet Moses, and we will learn about his hope and trust in Allah's will which make miracles. We will recite now from Surah number 26. We will recite from verses 52 to 66. We will learn the story of Prophet Moses and Pharaoh from Surah number 26, Surah Al-Shu'ara, We will recite from verse 52 to 56. This is a story which will actually teach us many lessons which are very important to every one of us who is looking to have the hope and trust in Allah's will. You find the pen? Alhamdulillah. So 52. We will learn, inshallah, the message which Allah is sending to us in these verses of the Quran. Actually, sisters, we want to get all the benefit from these verses of the Quran in our daily life, as the Holy Quran is the medicine, cure, and the healing for the believers. In these verses of the Quran, the companions of Prophet Musa said, "We are sure to be overtaken, as the sea was in front of them and the enemies are in their back." They were locked in a big trial. There was no outlet. This situation is happening to many of us in our worldly life as part of our worldly test. For example, the patient who was informed that his illness is very advanced, or the unmarried girl who is 35 years old, losing the hope for marriage, family, and happiness, or the wife who can't have kids, or the poor father who lost his job and can't find money to feed his kids. For all of those who are locked in their trials, let us always remember Allah's will. Let us remember that Allah's will is unlimited, profound, and all-comprehensive. Instead of saying we are sure to be overtaken, we must say, "Nay, verily Allah, our Lord, is with us." Actually, we must always believe that Allah will guide us to safety through the power of Allah. There are three steps which every one of us, when we are locked in a trial, we must remember these three steps, so that inshallah Allah will make for us an outlet from every calamity. The first step is that when we face any trial or hardship, we must say to Allah, number one, "I accept your decree." So acceptance is the first step which every one of us must have when facing any difficult trial, when having any sudden problem. Immediately we must send the message to Allah, "Oh Allah, I am accepting your decree." This is number one. Number two, we must actually try to imagine the reality of the power of Allah's will, which can change everything in no time by the word "be" and "it is." So we must take our spirit away from the trial, and we must focus on the hope in Allah's will. That is to say, we must be all the time focusing on the hope in Allah, so that inshallah we will not be overwhelmed by the trial. Number three, we must call on Allah. Calling on Allah, dua, actually is the medicine for every trial. We must call on Allah with the full hope in His will and with the acceptance of His decree, believing that Allah has the power to change, inshallah, all the trials and to make for us an outlet. So if we try to revise again how Prophet Moses faced this problem. Prophet Moses, in spite of the fact that he was actually very worried about his people, because his people, they were saying, "We are sure to be overtaken." This means that they were in the negative side. But Prophet Moses, out of his full belief in Allah and the power of Allah and in the will of Allah, he was not affected at all by the feeling of his people. But he focused on his belief in the power of Allah, and he said, "My Lord is with me and He will guide me to safety." When you send to Allah the Almighty this message during the trials and the hardship, inshallah, Allah the Almighty will open open for every one of us gates of mercy which we never expect, as it happened to Prophet Moses. Prophet Moses never imagined that the solution for this trial is very easy, very simple, that is to say, to strike the sea. He never imagined this, and none can imagine that there is a solution which none actually can think of or expect, which is to strike the sea, then a passage of dry land will be there, and he will move, he and his people, very easily. Subhanallah. So actually, sisters, we must believe in the power of Allah, that he can make the changes from reasons and means which we never expect, and Allah can make an end to every trial in no time. We must believe in this, because when we have this belief clear in our spirits, we will be all the time strong when we face the trials. We will not move to despair or to sadness or to crying or to complaining from Allah. We will be actually not far from Allah during the trials. Instead, we will be very close to Allah, hoping in His mercy, hoping in His will, which is unlimited. And also we will be calling on Him day and night with the full trust in His power, with the full trust in His mercy. And actually, if we live any of the trials with these feelings, inshallah, Allah will make for every one of us, inshallah, an outlet from His problem. Question of this week, and the question is, how can one who is afflicted with calamity know whether it is a punishment or a test to raise him in status?
That's a very good question.
So actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, again the question is, if a calamity befalls a Muslim, how can we know whether it is a punishment for his sins or a test to raise him in status? So actually, the answer is that according to the Quran and the Sunnah, there are two direct causes for calamities and trials. In addition to the wisdom of Allah, may He be exalted in what He wills and decrees. The first cause is sins, or are sins. Sins and acts of obedience will lead to calamities as an immediate punishment. As Allah said in Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, verse number 79. You will recite that. Surah number 4, verse number 79. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله وما أصابك من سيئة فمن نفسك وأرسلناك للناس رسولا وكفى بالله شهيدا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. What comes to you of good is from Allah, but what comes to you of evil, O man, is from yourself. And we have sent you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people as a messenger, and sufficient is Allah as a witness.
Okay. The same meaning actually Allah clarified to us again in Surah number 42, Surah Al-Shura, verse number 30. Surah number 42, verse number 30, to know that sins and acts of obedience will lead to calamities as an immediate punishment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُو عَن كَثِيرٍ. 42, 30.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahim. And whatever strikes you of disaster, it is for what your hands have earned. But He pardons much.
Actually, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, if Allah wills good for his slave, he hastens his punishment in this world. And if he wills bad for his slaves, he withholds him from punishment for his sins until he punishes him on the day of resurrection. The second reason actually for the calamities is that Allah may be may he be exalted, wants to raise in status the patient believer. So he tests him with calamity so that he will show acceptance and patience. Then he will be given the reward in the hereafter. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, if a certain status has previously been decreed by Allah for a person and he doesn't attain it by his deeds, Allah afflicts him in his body or wealth or children. Okay. Also, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, great reward comes with great trials. When Allah loves a people, he tests them, and whoever accepts it attain his pleasure. The two reasons are mentioned together in the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, according to which Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, nothing befalls a believer, a break of a thorn or more than that, but Allah will raise him one degree in status thereby or erase a bad deed. Moreover, in most cases, these two causes exist together rather than either of them. Either of them occurring on its own. Do you see that if Allah tests a person with a calamity because of his sin and he shows patience and gratitude, Allah, may he be exalted, will forgive him his sin, raise him in status in paradise and give him the reward. When Allah tests a person with a calamity so that he will reach the lofty status that he has decreed for him in the paradise, his previous sins are expiated and it is regarded exhibited. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is what happened to some of the messengers and prophets. For example, Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, and Yunus, peace be upon him. Allah, may he be glorified and exalted. He tested Adam with expulsion from paradise, and he tested Yunus ibn Matta with being swallowed in the belly of the fish. But by means of these tests, Allah raised them in status because of their patience and seeking reward with him, may he be exalted. It was expiation for what each of them had done by each of them had done of going against Allah's command. This proves that punishment in this world is not separate from the punishment in the hereafter. Actually, these two reasons are mentioned together, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the hadith which was mentioned by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, who among the people are most tested? Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessing be upon him, said, the prophets, then the next best, then the next best. Amen. A man will be tested according to his level of religious commitment. If his religious commitment is solid, his test will be more severe. But if there is any weakness in his religious commitment, he will be tested according to his level of religious commitment. And calamity will continue to befall a person until he walks on the earth with no sin on him. So, if the one who is afflicted is a Muslim who commits sin openly, then it is most likely that he is being punished with this calamity, because expiation of the sins comes before raising in status. And the sinner is in great need of expiation for his sins than of being raised in status. On the other hand, if the Muslim is a devoted worshipper, obedient and righteous, and there is nothing between him and Allah but true gratitude, praise, repentance and submission to him, may he be glorified, then it is most likely that this calamity is a kind of honor and raising in status, and people are the witness of Allah on earth. If they know him to be righteous, then they may give him the glad tidings of raised status before Allah if he is patient in tolerating the calamity. But if the one who is affected show displeasure and panic, then it can't be that the calamity is an honor from Allah to raise him in status, because Allah, may he be glorified, he knew that he would not be patient and accepted with content with and accepted the calamity. So in this case it is most likely that the calamity is a punishment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because lacking of patience is a sign that the calamity is punishment from Allah the Almighty. The sign of calamity to be raising in status is acceptance, peace of mind, and patience in accepting the will of Allah until relief comes. All of this is an evidence that one might ponder in order to learn something of the wisdom of Allah, may he be exalted, that is behind calamities and trials. But he can't be certain as to which is the case with regard to himself or other people who are afflicted with calamities. In conclusion, perhaps it is more important than all of these details to note that the practical benefit that one should think about is that every calamity and test is good for him and will bring reward if he is patient and seeks reward with Allah, and that every test and calamity is bad for him if he is panic and get angry. If he trains himself to tolerate calamities with patience and be content with the decree of Allah, after that it will not matter if he knows the reason for the calamity or not. Rather, it is always better for him to concern himself with his sins and shortcomings and to look for some mistake that he has committed, for all of us make mistakes. Actually, this is an excellent answer, and again, as believers in Allah, we must always evaluate calamities as punishment for our sins, because we are all sinners, and we must all the time, inshallah, try to remember this fact, so that inshallah we will try to follow the right path, so that inshallah Allah will make an end for all our calamities, and let us make that. الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Inshallah, today we will learn about the and trust of Prophet Musa in Allah the Almighty, and that trust in the will, in the unlimited will of Allah, leads to miracles. We will learn inshallah from Surah Al-Shu'ara, Surah number 26. We will recite from verse number 52 to verse number 68. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأوحينا إلى موسى أن اسر بعبادي إنكم متبعون فأرسل فرعون في المدائن حاشرين إن هؤلاء لشرذمة قليلون وإنهم لنا لغائظون وإنا لجميع حاذرون فأخرجناهم من جنات وعيون وكنوز ومقام كريم كذلك وأورثناها بني إسرائيل فأتبعوهم مشرقين فلما تراءى الجمعان قال أصحاب موسى إنا لمدركون قال كلا إن معي ربي سيهدين فأوحينا إلى موسى أن اضرب بعصاك البحر فانفلق فكان كل فرق كالطود العظيم وأزلفنا ثم الآخرين وأنجينا موسى ومن معه أجمعين ثم أغرقنا الآخرين إن في ذلك لآية وما كان أكثرهم مؤمنين. The meaning in English, the translation, and we revealed to Moses saying, Depart by night with my slaves, verily you will be pursued. Then Pharaoh sent the callers to all the cities, saying, Verily, these indeed are but a small band, and verily, they have done what has made us angry, but we are a host or assembled, amply forewarned. So we expelled them from gardens and springs, treasures and every kind of honorable place. Thus, we caused the children of Israel to inherit them, so they pursued them at sunrise. And when the two hosts saw each other, the companions of Prophet Musa said, We are sure to be overtaken. Musa said, Nay, verily with me is my Lord, he will guide me. Then we revealed to Musa, Strike the sea with your stick. And it parted, and each part became like huge mountain. Then we brought near the others, Pharaoh's party, to that place, and we saved Moses and all those with him. Then we drowned the others. Verily, and this is indeed a sign, yet most of them are not believers. Let us now, inshallah, learn about the story of Prophet Moses and Pharaoh. Allah the Almighty instructed Prophet Moses to leave Egypt with his people, escaping the bad treatment of Pharaoh and his people. As that tyrant Pharaoh wanted to kill Prophet Moses because Prophet Moses was calling the people to worship Allah, while Pharaoh, he is believing that he is the God. Accordingly, Allah the Almighty, out of his mercy and his will, he instructed Prophet Moses to start his flight by night after making all the necessary preparations. Allah also told Musa that Pharaoh and his host would follow them. He, Allah, further commanded Prophet Moses to lead his people to the sea. Pharaoh soon learned about the escape of Moses and his people. So he immediately ordered full mobilization of his troops, sending officials to other cities hoping to catch up Prophet Moses and his people and undermine their effort. Little did Pharaoh realized that the plan he wanted to stop was Allah's own. So, in the morning, Moses and his people, they found themselves close to the sea without any boats which they could use to escape. And also, they realized that they couldn't cross on foot. Accordingly, they were locked in their place. At that time, Pharaoh and his army were approaching with his soldiers fully equipped, confident of their victory and intent on showing no mercy. All indications suggested a final tragedy for the small group with Moses. There was no escape. For the sea was ahead and the enemy to the back, so they cried out, "We shall certainly be overtaken." It was the time of great stress to the believers with Moses. It looked as if in just a few minutes they would be certainly overtaken. They were sure that there is no escape. Prophet Moses, who had received Allah's revelations, he didn't have any such doubt. He had full hope and trust in Allah's will, which is unlimited. Prophet Moses believed that his help will come from Allah. Prophet Moses was sure that Allah will save him, although he doesn't know how and when. But still, he was certain that Allah will guide him. So it was his reply, "No, indeed, my Lord is with me, and he will guide me to safety." Let us appreciate the depth of the hope and the trust that Prophet Moses has in Allah's will, in his words, "No, indeed." These words mean that he will not be overtaken, either he or his people. He will not suffer any persecution because Allah will guide him, and he is sure of that. At that moment when Prophet Moses proved his real and full belief in Allah's will, it was that a bright ray of hope became clearly seen against the long dark night of stress and despair, as that route ahead opens at a point no one had ever thought of. It was that Allah commanded Prophet Moses to strike the sea with his stick. Immediately a miracle was enacted, and Prophet Moses and his people looked on. A passageway of dry land opened for them between the waters of the sea, which stood still on both sides of the passage like great mountains. Moses' people rushed to cross over. Pharaoh and his people stood there, overwhelmed at this great event. After a long while of watching, Pharaoh ordered his soldiers to move along the same route. Thus Allah's will was done. As Moses' people were coming out at the other end, Pharaoh and his host were walking in between the two great bodies of water, drowning ever nearer to their death. Actually, this is the story which has a great sign for the mankind. Do many people believe in it?